Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our consideration today is found written in the Gospel according to St. John. We read a selection from the 15th chapter, verses 9 to 17. Jesus says there, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." So far our text. In Jesus' name, our resurrected Redeemer, dear friends, I've got a joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got a joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart to stay. Let me recognize those words as those from a familiar children's Bible song. Song with a catchy tune, pleasing to the ear, pretty easy to pick up. In the song, we encourage our children to express their happiness, their joy in the Lord. However, I suppose a person might ask, is it appropriate to teach our children to learn about and to sing about a joy that stays? Do not our children, do not we all, including us adults, live in a world in which we encounter a lot of things that make us sad? Isn't it a bit idealistic and even unrealistic to speak about a happiness in our heart that lasts? Or as our answer as Christians is, no, it's not unrealistic, nor is it idealistic. Not only is it possible to have a lasting, deep-down heart joy, it's something that our risen Savior guarantees us, each of us as His believers. And in today's sermon text, I'm going to consider a selection from Jesus' discourse from His talking to His disciples in the upper room the night before He went on the sad and lonely road to the cross, where He teaches us what are the two keys to a happy and a joy-filled life. And the first of these keys, Jesus says, is abiding in His love. He told His disciples that night, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." And He did not leave His disciples in the dark in regard to what that meant, abiding in His love, when He went on to tell them, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain, may stay, and that your joy may be full." Jesus was speaking about the complete and the lasting joy that he gives to his believers as they endeavor in the Holy Spirit's strength to walk in the way of his commandments, just as he walked in the way of his Father's commandments as he went the way to the cross for us. As you let your love for me show by cheerful obedience to my word, it's going to have the twofold effect of making me happy, your Savior, and making you happy too. Just several real life examples and applications of what Jesus was here speaking about. Just consider how husbands and wives think of the joy that you experience in your marriage relationship as you take Jesus' word as your guide in your marriage relationship. When you husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church, unselfishly, to the point of giving up your life even for her. As you strive to put your wife's needs above your own, as Jesus put our soul needs above his own cares and comforts as he went to the cross, there's a happiness that the Lord enables you to experience. And similarly, when you wives submit to your husbands as to your Savior, the way that he submitted to the will of his Father as he went to the cross, as you recognize your husband as your God-given head, the way that Jesus recognized his heavenly Father as his head, there's a joy that he enables you to experience. You young people and your children, as you take Jesus' example of love to his heavenly Father as your own guide in your life, as your pattern, obeying your parents in the Lord, that is, for the Lord's sake, respecting and honoring your parents and superiors, a wonderful blessing results from your obedience, and that is a deep down joy that the Lord gives to you in your life. Church members, as we come to God's house faithfully to praise him who redeemed us, as we hear his holy word here, which we know as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, to receive strengthening for our faith, guidance for our walk as Jesus' disciples in this world, again, he fills our lives with a special kind of happiness. The opposite is also true. Just think about this in the nuts and bolts of everyday living. When married couples fail to take Jesus' word as their guide in their relationship, when children act out or misbehave or rebel against authority, when parishioners disregard or ignore the third commandment of God, there's an unhappiness that invariably results as you're living out of sync with the holy will of your Lord and Savior. Psalmist put it very well, Psalm 1, when he said, and bear in mind when the Bible uses the word blessed, that means happy, spiritually happy. Psalm 1, he says, blessed or spiritually happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God, and on his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf doesn't wither. Whatever he does prospers. Blessed is such a man, such a woman. Also another verse from the Psalms. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord and finds great delight in God's commands. And the one we are so familiar with from Luke's gospel, we use it every Sunday in church. You heard it earlier. Blessed, spiritually happy are those who hear the word of God and keep it or treasure it up in their hearts. Now, the unbelieving children of the world don't have any understanding of this. They think that happiness is found actually in living their life apart from any constraints of God's commandments, like the son in Jesus' parable of the loving father who obtained his father's inheritance early so that he could be out on his own and go and live a wild, promiscuous life just as he wanted to without any restrictions of living at home. But he discovered, as Jesus pointed up in his parable, it didn't make him happy, but actually very miserable until he came to his senses and went back home with a repentant heart to his heavenly father, to his father, a picture of our heavenly father. Holy Spirit, of course, is the one who enables us to understand and recognize this. True joy in our lives and perfect joy in the next life in heaven is found in knowing Jesus as our Savior by faith, He who kept all of God's commandments in our place, and in our walking in His holy commandments. Commandments which are not burdensome to us, in which we recognize were given to us not to make our lives hard or joyless, the very opposite reason, that He might fill our lives with His blessedness, His joy, His spiritual happiness. You know what's extra special about this joy that Jesus gives to His believers? Is that it is ours. When life gets sad, when Jesus said, "These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that it might be full," He was not saying that our lives as His disciples will be cushioned continually by a bed of roses and that we will experience only good and happy times, but that in the midst of life's sad turns and happenings, and you can fill in the blank with whatever experience of your life that has been difficult related to home, family, work, etc., health issues, He helps us in those times to maintain our deep down Christian joy, lifting us up by His precious gospel promises. For example, Isaiah 43, "This is what the Lord says who created you and formed you. Fear not. I've redeemed you. I've summoned you by your name and you're mine. When you pass through the waters of affliction, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers of sadness, they will not sweep over you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb?" They might forget. "I will not forget you," says the Lord. "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand," says the Lord. The joy that He gives to us even in times of stormy weather. It's interesting to note, as you read through the writings of the apostles in the New Testament, if you ever notice this, apostles, as you probably are aware, went through some very difficult and trying times in their lives, that joy is a dominant theme. One of the best examples of this is Paul's epistle to the Philippians. In fact, it's called sometimes the epistle of joy because of its happy, upbeat tone. Paul uses the word joy and rejoice in Philippians no less than 16 times. Guess where he was when he wrote it? Visiting family and friends? On a vacation trip with friends? No. He was in prison at Rome because of his preaching the good news of Jesus. And yet in the midst of that difficult trial, the Lord had blessed Paul with a joy in his heart which no one, no circumstance could take away, not even the devil himself. From his prison cell, he wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, bring your requests to God, and the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus. That's the peace of God, the joy we have in Christ. Second key to a joy-filled life, we might say it's on the same key ring because it's so closely related. Cherishing Jesus' friendship. In the upper room that night, Jesus went on to say to his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Is there any better advice that could be shared for bolstering our Christian joy as we go through our days, our weeks, the years of our lives, than that we have a friend who loved us so much that he was willing to die for us in order to reconcile us to God? Paul writes in Romans, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But the Lord demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He showed us that perfect, unconditional agape love. That's the most perfect kind of love for people that don't even deserve it, but he loved us anyway, because he wanted to do that. And so he did, and showed it by giving us his Son as our Savior. May we also be reminded, dear friends, about another blessing he's bestowed upon us, his dear friends in Christ, through Christ, in that agape love, when he says here, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit may remain." And then he says, "That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give you." So in other words, not only are we privileged as friends of the Lord, as his redeemed people, to have him speak to us in his word about the wonderful things he did for us in his love, so that our lives on earth may be blessed, spiritually happy, and then hereafter forever perfectly in heaven. But we're privileged to talk to him in prayer, and to know that we ask of our Heavenly Father in Jesus' name, he'll give us. In every need that we have, we can turn to our Father in heaven and know with utmost confidence he is going to respond to our prayers with a favorable answer. Whether that prayer is no, because he knows it's not the best for us, or yes, or later, when the time is right. He always answers us for Jesus' sake, because he has become our BFF in the truest sense, our best friend forever. As we sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. We may take it to the Lord in prayer." Such a friend, such a Savior, we may sing. We can teach our children to sing. "I've got a joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart, down in my heart. I've got a joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart to stay." And if you children know the other stanza from this familiar Bible song, it's also true. If the devil doesn't like it, he can sit and attack. Ouch. Sit and attack to stay. We will praise God for the lasting joy that he has given to us in Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.